Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
The Thursday Topic on Game On.
Now it is time for our Thursday Topic, and we are delighted to be joined by Brian Gartland, captain of Dundalk, and Declan Lee of Enterprise Ireland to talk about mixing sport and business. You're very welcome to Game On, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start by with you, Brian. Just tell me a little bit about the business that you run.
I suppose, yeah, I came in with playing part-time football, and I tried working in an office, just wasn't for me, and then you're having to leave early and get days off and that. So I coached voluntarily before, and I said, why not try set up even one or two days coaching business, and classes just sort of snowballed a bit from there, and they're going well.
So it's basketball?
Yeah, it's basketball, after school classes. So it's not competitive or anything. It's more to do with social and physical development, and it's all basis of fun, you know, is the main thing, and keep kids in sport. So it's going well from that. It's not massive as such, you know. I did have plan on having it a lot bigger by now, but going full time, I suppose, has curtailed that a bit. So I'm trying to manage it and maintain it and keep it there. So that when I do finish playing, you know, it's something to, I suppose, to have and develop. That's where I went with that, and then so I'm dipping into sports recovery and opening up another business at the moment, hopefully next month there to target that side of it.
Oh, tell us about that.
That's why I'm jumping at this chance. It's Junction 6 there in Castle Knock. Premises, the builders are actually in this week. So
Aldi Peak is there. I've passed it.
We're next door to Aldi Peak, actually, right next door to it. So yeah, as I got older and playing sports, and especially in professional sports, my training got a lot smarter. I suppose I decreased it, and my recovery got a lot better to, I suppose, keep my standards high, keep the body right, and prolong your career, and I suppose get the most out of my body. So from that, I suppose you've got a contrast therapy in terms of hot and cold, infrared saunas, you know, there's many benefits to it. There's lots of myofascial massage tools and stuff like that at the moment. So you've got the massage guns and foam rollers, backballers, things like that, and then compression boots, as well as, I suppose, I'm going to go as far as I can with it and target the other side of recovery. Is sleep is massive, your diet's massive, in terms of, you know, little things like electrolytes, and offer a wide range of services for professional athletes, amateur athletes, anyone that wants to get the best out of their body and I suppose recover from workouts quicker or have the body in the best shape for a game coming at the weekend.
What about retired athletes there like Donica?
I suppose he starts going back for a run, he'll need it for a few days after.
I definitely will, but I suppose they're all the things you're chatting about, and I was used to having them within a professional environment, so I could see how someone, maybe an amateur or someone that's looking to maximise their recovery, would look for something like that, because I used to try stuff like that on my own. Like you mentioned, those compression boots, the expense of them to own on your own were massive, you know.
Yeah, they retail probably about 1500, you know, for a pair of boots. Even to get a good cryobat, get into a good cryobat in Dublin, you know, it can be hard enough. There's not too many about, and then you're looking for availability, and you fit two people at a time. So we've looked to build one to fit four or five, so we can get teams in together, and, you know, people can come in, there's individual bookings, and then to be, if a team wants to book it out, the room will be closed off to them, and, you know, you have that environment to do your recovery cool down session together behind closed doors, and everybody's busy at the same time in one room, you're still together. But yeah, Dunica touched on it there. He's lucky, he's in a sport that's, you know, it's really well ran, and there's great development's been in it financially as well. You know, Leinster or the RFU are going over into Abbottstown, I think, as well, and they'll have all that side for their players. But a lot of our Olympic athletes and stuff like that don't have, I know they have a few pairs of the boots, but they don't have everything together in one, you know, to do a full recovery session, to do the best out of you. So I'm looking to, yeah, you amateur, professional, semi-professional, the service, it's growing. I think TJ Breslin has one down in Cork. There's Damien Comer's only after opening one now in Galway. Kieran in Cullaville, who's been a great help to me, has won things like that. So yeah, it's a side of fitness that's, I suppose, been neglected, and I'm 8 months now planning this, so I'm dying to get going. And
Declan, you work for Enterprise Ireland. Have you encountered many people like Brian who are athletes, footballers, former players, players who are still juggling careers and trying to figure out what they're doing, who want to get into business and keep up their sport?
It's very common. There's a lot of sports people end up going into business in one way or another, whether they're employed by companies or whether they want to start up themselves. The only thing, there isn't an actual pathway for it at the moment, and that's what we've been looking at. So there's plenty of supports out there for if you want to link sport and education, if you want to do scholarships and degrees and things like that. But there's no practical approach to leaving sport or while you're in sport and starting a business, or starting a business when you're leaving sport, whether it's due to retirement or injury or anything like that. So that's what we've been looking at. And this is a way that athletes can get involved while they're still competing, and hopefully, you know, put the attributes that they have as sports people, which are very similar to those that an entrepreneur would have, whether it's that passion, goal setting, drive and things like that, and put those to use within their own business.
Declan, I used to always get a kick out of, we used to train in the CIT, so you pass the Rubicon, which is a kind of startup hub, and you used to pass it in your gear, but you could see all the maybe people inside were thinking, oh, the lucky ducks, like heading out for training, whereas we were looking in going, I'd love to have something going there outside of rugby that I could be kind of tipping away a bit. But how do you find the spot that's right for a player? You know, like, it's so funny, you chat to any, I know certainly in the rugby environment, coffee shops, it's like every rugby player wants to have a coffee shop, you know, but they're not all suited to that type of small business. Like you were saying, maybe more are suited to different things. How do you find out the perfect fit?
Exactly. Well, this new program, the Sport to Startup program with the local enterprise offices, this actually will bring them through that process. So if they've got an idea or a passion, we start out with that. We kind of vet the idea. Is it workable? Does it exist at the moment? Can we tweak it? Bring it through a business, right through to a business plan at the end, that you can go and you can get funding, whether it's from Enterprise Ireland or whether it's from their local enterprise offices or even a private investor. Because I suppose a lot of sports people have the ability to maybe open doors that a normal sports or a normal entrepreneur can't do. I mean, if you know, if somebody rings up and says, I'm Donico Callahan, you're probably going to get a meeting ahead of somebody who's a Joe Soap business person who just says, I'd like to meet about a new business that I'm getting up and running. So sports people have that kind of competitive edge, and they can bring that into a business. But as you say, a lot of existing sports people get approached to come on board with businesses, whether it's co-founders or as an investor if they have access to funds, and a lot of them won't know what a business should look like, and a lot of them just go in because it's something to keep them going and something to do outside of sport and maybe a focus afterwards. So this program actually will give them a good grounding in what a business should look like, whether it's from financial bookkeeping, whether it's auditing, marketing, research, sales, everything, right through to a business plan. So hopefully that will be of use to current and former athletes.
Brian, by the sounds of it, it's something that would benefit someone like you in a big way.
Yeah, well, I actually have benefited from it. I've done an enterprise course as part of my degree in UCD many years ago, 13, 14 years ago. So that's what stemmed this side of it in me. And, you know, I met Declan before about this, and I thought it was a great idea. Because it just, it opens your eyes, it opens your head and your thought process. And like you said, in sports, there's a lot of lads with ideas, but they just don't know where to start even. So it gives it that opportunity. And it's not too demanding of time, because I suppose Duncan knows when you're playing sports, like, it was grand when I was part-time before. When I went professional, like, you always have to give your all, whether it's part-time or professional, to your sport, and that's what is expected. So there's a balance to be met there. So this is great for that, because it's not too demanding in terms of time, and it's specific to sports people.
What have been the biggest challenges that you've faced, Brian, in trying to juggle a professional, very successful football career and get business going as well?
the biggest thing is change of schedules. Like, you know, you don't have, we could be training at one time and then you get told, listen, it's changing to another time, and I have a class of 30 kids that are being collected from class and brought over to the community centre. That's, I suppose, one of our unique selling points. Parents don't have to collect them for an extra hour then at that age. And then I'm under pressure trying to get someone, even a friend, to do a favour that's a coach, and you know, it's last minute and it's pressurised and stressful like that. But you learn over time to manage things, and you learn to have people about you, and you know, that are good help, and the right ones and the wrong ones find their way.
Declan, just on that, obviously Brian, like, is savvy and knows what he's about, but we hear it so often, and especially with more mature professional sports, the NFL, an awful lot of those players are bankrupt really soon after retirement. What's right for Brian isn't right for maybe someone else in his dressing room, and how do you nearly weed out the guys that you nearly say at the end of the process, look, maybe starting your own business isn't the right move for someone here, whereas it's perfect for Brian and there's another option?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I suppose that's kind of what the program does. It brings you from a starting point of what you'd like to do or what you think is a good idea to a point where, is this viable? Would this work? And I mean, the local enterprise offices will tell you, you know, this is going to work or this is not going to work. And at the end of the day, you will or you won't get funding for it after that. So that's going to determine, you know, whether their business is a success or not, or whether they can kind of bring it forward. So
can I jump in on the back of that just to say, like, if it isn't for them and you don't have, you know, setting up your own business isn't for you, you're coming out of that better educated. You're coming out of that after learning more and gaining valuable, you know, information. And I suppose that's what I think we'd like to see a lot of other organisations or departments doing, is doing stuff to help sports people in terms of education, in terms of courses, because it can be hard to do them when you're playing, because, you know, you're training during the day when classes do be on and different things. So I suppose just to go off side of that, for the people that wouldn't be interested in that, it would be great to have a sports education board that, if you had it all rolled into one, to offer athletes of every sport courses that was, you know, and it's more suited times, more suited them, you know, that would target that side of things for people that aren't going into business startup, but it would give you every opportunity after your career.
Ryan, I'd imagine as well, with how fickle sport is, and at the moment how fickle the League of Ireland is, that it is really important to have something else, or to at least have your mind open to other things.
Yeah, that was a decision I sort of came to when we were 2016. We were still training in the evenings, we were part time. Then we got to Europa League, you know, it sort of went afternoons, and that was the biggest challenge for me then, because I couldn't be a coach and I had to get someone else just take it over for me. And really then, you know, I'm not making much there, and I just had to sacrifice that for a while to put my football first, and that was a decision I had to make. But 2018 we went full time, we went mornings, and I had to make the decision, do I take up this contract and take a step back from what I was doing outside of football, but try and maintain it, like I said, for after football, or do I say no to the football and go the other way with business, because I was 30, 31 years old, and you don't know when it's finished, let's be honest, you know, and especially, like you say, volatile, you know, we do earn a decent enough living wage in the League of Ireland, or the top of the league, but it can be gone in a year or two, so is it worth sacrificing other opportunities for? So yeah, that's a decision that has to be made and weighed up by, I suppose, each individual's.
Declan, just having worked with athletes now and seen people come through and be successful, what are the major skills that people take from sport that they can apply to business?
I mean, you're looking at goal setting, being able to plan out and structure what you're going to do. Athletes and sports people are well used to that. That kind of passion, that drive, that determination, all of those, like, if you were to mirror the attributes of a sports person and a successful entrepreneur, they'd be quite similar. I mean, when people walk into the local enterprise offices, Enterprise Ireland, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that passion. And at the end of the day, athletes and sports people want to win. So whether that's on the field or in the pool, they, you know, they want to win, and they'll want to win a business. And I mean, that gives them that extra edge, I suppose, as potential startups or entrepreneurs.
Have you come across any former players who wanted to be radio presenters?
I was just about to say, you got stung with your one.
Planning, goal setting. It's like, yes, we've got dinner at 5 o'clock, dinner at 1 o'clock.
It's all our own food.
I'm going to be able to eat all of this.
But Declan, just on that, how important is it to work with the clubs then? You know, like just in Brian's case there, just that relationship with the club, because for some players, you're right, after a tough day's training it is easy to walk out the door, whereas if there was a tie with the club or the sporting body, it makes it easy for the player.
Yeah, it's something we've done a lot of work on in the last few months. We've spoken to the PFAI, Rugby Players Ireland, GPA. They've all been massively supportive of this, and I suppose it's linking in with them, knowing their expertise and how best to administer this. But I suppose from a practical perspective, if you're looking to start up a business, and Brian will know, if you're training at certain hours or certain points of time, it's going to be hard to get a job, in a normal job that will facilitate that. Whereas if you're starting your own business, you can create a business essentially, you can work your own hours. If you are training in the afternoon, you can work in the morning. If you're flying to a meet in Switzerland, in the hotel, you can work on the plane. So you can make it work around you if you actually have the drive to do it. So actually, you know, a lot of sports people are looking at, well, I'm finishing up, I want to, you know, I need to get a job. Well, why not just go and create your own job and, you know, create your own business and help maybe create jobs for other people. So
Brian, did you get much support from the club? Like, there can be a stigma as well, being the guy that's thrown on the shirt to run out the door after training. They kind of feel that, you know, is he cutting a corner, or is he not mind fully on the game and the game only?
Yeah, you sum up perfectly, I suppose, what I was thinking there is, I've got great support from the club, mainly because I had this when I came into the club, and it was part of, say, my negotiations, was say, listen, I need to keep this on, and especially when we went full time, the club been brilliant for me that way, you know, the management, and it's been, you know, a bit of a balance between it, and there's an understanding, and there's also that feeling from my part that I have that feeling that, you know, we're in pre-season now, so instead of just one of the days I'm meant to, you know, maybe not do a gym session and do it myself later on, but in pre-season I decided I need to be here and I need to be doing all the training sort of thing, so I sacrifice a day that I'm meant to be down there, and that's just how it is. But yeah, they've been really supportive and good to me, so yeah, you don't want to take advantage of it, and you want to make sure, you know, you reciprocate that back.
Brian, it must be great for other footballers in the League of Ireland to see that it can be done as well.
Yeah, it is, especially at full time. But I suppose Donegal asked how the clubs would feel about it as well, and yeah, I suppose the clubs wouldn't want to. If you want a player there and you want the player giving your all for your team, you don't want them to having too much distractions or too much, I suppose, commitments outside. So there is a balance like that, and a player needs to realise that if they are doing something outside.
The best, yeah. And I've had an example of that when I moved over to Worcester first. They tie in with the players' unions and all the players' welfare groups, but they've someone in-house to look after players' development for after rugby. Lynette Cutting was over there, and she was the first person I met when I went in the door, and she'd been through my education. I said, why haven't you finished your degree? And she basically man-marked me until I finished my degree. I got a phone call 2 weeks ago from her saying your CV still isn't good enough for her standard, and I found that brilliant that there was someone within the club taking control of it, as opposed to saying, oh, that's with the GPA, that's with the player's body. It was someone within the club going, and she organised stuff. She organised for lads to do trades. She even used our gym, our own gym in Worcester, to do strength and conditioning courses, because she's there, you're not going to get a better facility than something like this. So it was just being able to use it.
Yeah, and I think that comes down to finance again in the end. Obviously, you know, there's great finance behind there, so the club can employ someone like that. Unfortunately, I suppose, from my part in the League of Ireland, you won't have that. But we've got Emma and the PFAI now doing a great job at that the last few years, and I know there's a few lads, and she helps them with their degrees and their courses going through, and she's inviting in as many people to make appointments with her for life after sport. So in terms of football, that's been addressed by the PFEI there, and I suppose, yeah, it's all about balance in the end. You know, you need to make sure that it's not taken from your game.
But it's a tie-in with the club as well. Actually, Lynette was just a retired principal. She was finished, so she was quite happy to come in. And that's the beauty of a club, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's many people around every club, you know, with the experience and retired like that, that are, exactly. You know, they would be inclined to do that.
So use your club, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the same way there's
use
times,
your community around you, yeah. People are offering, yeah. Yeah, and I know there is people up in Dundalk anyway that would jump at the chance to do that.
So Declan, if people want to join the course, where can they find it?
localenterprise.ie/sport, and they get it there, they get all the information. There's a taster session tomorrow in partnership with Sport Ireland at the Institute, so you can still register if you're a full time sports person and interested in coming along.
And Brian, if anyone wants to drop their kids to your basketball after school care or to go for some recovery sessions, where can they find it?
I have 4 ready to go.
It's bgb.ie. It's based out in Knockline. So it's a lot, mainly kids from St. Colum Kills School here in Knockline. Just happens to be a big school with about 1,600 kids, so good placement. And yeah, look out for the new recovery room going to open up in Junction 6. So looking forward to that.
Very good. Brian Gartland from Dundalk and Declan Lee of Enterprise Ireland, thank you very much for joining us on Game On.
Thanks. 2FM.